Dat is aan het vergebouwd, mis met deze hebben, zal bier gaan. Maar dan zie je hier nog wel. De stone is on the opening of each jar. The jar is full of wine. And you want to drink from the wine on Shabbat, and you can't drink from the wine without having the stone removed. Matav see the behinophels. You're allowed to incline the jar to its side, causing the stone to fall. And this would be considered tiltal minatzad, indirectly moving the muksah, which is mutter. Now we're talking about where the stone was mistakenly left in the opening of the jar. So in such a case, the jar is not a basis or davar asur. It's not considered a base to the muksah. So the jar itself is not muksah. However, if he deliberately left the stone there before Shabbat, in such a case, the jar itself would be muksa, and it would be a basis ludav or asur, a base to the muksa, and you would not be allowed to incline the jar at all. If the jar that has a stone on top of it is among other jars, and you're afraid to incline the jar causing the stone to fall, and maybe the stone will cause one of the other jars to break. In such a case, you would be allowed to pick up the jar with the stone on top of it and move it to a place where it's safe to incline the jar, and you would incline the jar in that place, causing the stone to fall. Mo sha'alaka, noa etakar behein nofla. If money was left on a pillow, and you want to sleep in that pillow on Shabbat, you're allowed to shake the pillow, causing the money to fall. And this would be considered tiltul min hatzad, indirectly causing the muksa to be moved. Again, we're talking about where the money was left there mistakenly, as if the money was left there deliberately, the pillow would be a basis l'davar asur, and the pillow itself would be muksa. You would not be allowed to shake the pillow. Now, the Mefarshim said that which you're mechuyev to shake the pillow or to incline the jar, and you're not allowed to move the pillow entirely or move the jar entirely, unless the jar is among other jars, that's only where you don't need the space where the jar is or the place where the pillow is. However, if you want to clear the place where the jar is, you need to use that plate for something else. Or you want to clear the place where the pillow is, you want to use that plate for something else. In such a case, you're not mechuyev to incline the jar or to shake off the pillow, since that would not fulfill your purpose, since you want to clear off that place. And if you shake the pillow or incline the jar, then the stone or the money will be in the place that you want to clear off. So therefore, in that case, you would be allowed to move the jar entirely to a different place with a stone on it, and you'd be allowed to move the pillow entirely with the money on it, since you need the place where the jar or the pillow is. Ha'isa alav lishleshes, mekancha bismartet. If there is a stain on a pillow, you're allowed to wipe it off with a cloth on Shabbos. As even though you're not allowed to wash a stain on Shabbos, however, to wipe it with a cloth would be mutter. However, you can't pour water on it, even though you're not washing it, you're simply pouring water on it. As we have a cloth, shriyaso zehu kibusa. Putting water on something is tantamount to washing it. You can't simply just pour water on it, even though you're not washing it, as pouring water is the same thing as washing it. And washing on Shabbos is also min hatorah. Ha'isa shahor, noisna lea maim acha tifla. If the pillow was made out of leather, then you would be allowed to pour water on the stain until the stain is removed. As with regards to leather, we do not have the cloud of shriyasu zehu kibuso. Pouring water on the stain would not be tantamount to washing it, so it would be mutter to pour water on it. However, to wash it would be usur, as a pillow is likely made out of soft leather, and it's forbidden to wash soft leather on Shabbat, so therefore you can only pour water on it. You can't actually wash it. Beishami said, one is permitted on Shabbat to pick up and remove from the table bones and peel. We're talking about bones and peel that are fit for animal food. So therefore, it would not be considered muksa, and you're allowed to remove it from the table on Shabbat. Beishami says, you should take the entire tabletop and shake it off. You can't actually move the bones and peels with your hand. As according to Beit Hillel, the bones and peels are muksa. Instead, you should shake them off the table. And the Mefarshim say that we actually have to switch around the Mishnah. Beit Hillel is actually the one that is lenient. As normally, Beit Hillel is lenient, and Beit Shammai is stringent. And Beit Hillel would be the one that holds. You're allowed to move the bones and peels itself, since it is fit for animal food. While Beit Shammai is the one that's stringent, and he holds that you can't actually move the bones and peels. Instead, you can just shake them off the table, as Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, who is more lenient with regards to muksa, while Beit Shammai would hold like Rabbi Huda, who is more stringent with regards to muksa. As according to Rabbi Huda, even though the bones and peels are fit for animal food, it would be considered muksa, and you would not be allowed to move it. Ma'avirim milifnei ha'shulchan, pirurim pachos mekizayim. V'seir sha'afonin, v'seir sha'adoshim, mifnei shehu ma'echo behem. You're allowed to remove from the table on Shabbat crumbs that are less than a kizayim. And even though the crumbs are less than a kizayim, and likely they will not be eaten by humans, but it's fit to be given to animals. And so too you could remove from the table pods of beans and pods of lentils, and these are also fit for animals, so therefore would not be muksa. This would be going according to Rabbi Shimon, who is leaning with regards to muksa, and Rabbi Shimon holds any food that is fit for animal consumption is not muksa on Shabbat, so therefore you would be allowed to remove it from the table. Tifuk, im yesh lo or beis achiza, mikan kambo. Ve'im lav, ein mikan kambo. A sponge that has a leather handle, you're allowed to wipe things with the sponge on Shabbat. However, if it does not have a leather handle, you would not be allowed to wipe things with the sponge. The reason why you can't wipe it without a handle is because if it doesn't have a handle, then you have to hold on to the sponge itself when you wipe things with it. And when you hold on to the sponge, you're going to squeeze it, causing some liquid to be squeezed out. And this is schita, squeezing, which is also on Shabbat. However, if it does have a handle and you don't have to hold on to the sponge itself, you are not going to cause liquid to be squeezed down. Now, even though when you hold on to the sponge itself, you only want to wipe things with it, you don't intend to squeeze the sponge, causing liquid to be squeezed down. And Rabbi Shimon holds a davar she'ein miskaven is mutter. When you do a malacha without intention on Shabbat, it's mutter. Even so, if it does not have a handle, you cannot wipe things with it, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And even though Rabbi Shimon holds the davar she'ein miskaven is mutter, that's only if it is not a psik reisha. If it's not inevitable that the malacha would be done, that's when we say a davar she'ein miskaven is mutter. However, if it's a psik reisha, meaning to say that it's inevitable that the malacha would be done, then even Rabbi Shimon would hold that it is usur, even though it is eino miskaven. So therefore, if the sponge does not have a handle and you have to hold on to the sponge itself, it is inevitable that some liquid will be squeezed out of the sponge. So therefore, you cannot wipe with it on Shabbat. The Chachamim Aymerim Benkach U Benkach Nitzel B'Shabbos. The Eina Makabat Tum. Chachamim said, whether or not the sponge has a handle, you're allowed to move the sponge on Shabbat. The sponge would not be muksum. And even though if it does not have a handle, you cannot wipe things with the sponge. But that's only if the sponge is wet. That's when you can't wipe things with it, since you'll end up squeezing the sponge and causing liquid to be squeezed down. However, when the sponge is dry, you would be allowed to use the sponge. So therefore, the sponge would not be muksum, even if it does not have a handle. And the sponge is not mekabel tuma. Now, even though the sponge is regarded as a utensil, and utensils are generally mekabel tuma, but that's only a utensil that's made out of wood or cloth or metal. Those are the type of utensils that are mekabel tuma. However, the sponge is not made out of any of those materials, so therefore, even though it is a kli, it is not mekabel tuma.